Chapter 1. Wanna play doctor? Brian Booker looked up from his computer and froze. Now that the latest agency temp had his attention, the woman gave him a smile impossible to misinterpret and sashayed over to his desk. She perched on the edge, fingering the stapler with suggestive strokes while she gave him another come-get-me glance. I thought maybe I'd stay and keep you company this evening. I'm sure we could get some things done. She leaned closer, until her top gaped, and he got an in-your-face view down the V-necked smock to her Victoria's Secret bra. He swallowed a sigh. The fact he knew what brand of underwear she wore by sight alone was certainly indication that he knew too much about women's lingerie, and not enough about hiring employees. Trisha. Are you on a porn site? Her tone chided, but her salacious expression stated all too clearly she wished he were. Brian forced a tired smile. Just emailing my parents. They're touring Europe for their 40th anniversary. How romantic. Trisha leaned over even more and began to caress his arm. Brian, I was wondering, would you like to have dinner with me? I know you said we had to keep it all business during office hours, and I understand because of what a stick-in-the-mud Janice is, but she's not here now, we're officially closed, she almost purred the words, and I bought something special today at lunch that I would love to show you. Frowning, Brian carefully plucked her hand from his arm and got to his feet. In response, Trisha lowered the leg she had crossed, leaving him plenty of room to step between if he so chose. But instead he grasped her wrist and tugged her off the desk. After the invitation she'd just tossed out, she probably thought he was about to lead her upstairs to his apartment. He turned down the hall toward the reception area and waiting room, stopping in his tracks once he spotted the mess Trisha had neglected to clean up. A desk was under there somewhere. "You didn't get the filing done?" he asked needlessly, pained at the sight of all the work he'd have to sort through before reopening his doors on Monday. He'd wanted to spend the weekend with his granddad, maybe take him out for a drive in the convertible, since the weather was supposed to be mild. That wouldn't be happening now. No, not exactly. Between the patients and phones, and those horribly written notes you expect me to transcribe, I didn't have time. But how about you let me make it up to you another way? Her palms found his shoulders, and she pressed her ample breasts against his chest. I promise you'll like what I have in mind. You took a 2-hour lunch, the results of which were contained in a pink Victoria's Secret bag, sitting beside her purse. The knowledge that the nearest store was an hour away brought to mind his hellish afternoon of trying to keep up with patients, files, and phones, instead of the sensual pleasures advertised so prettily. You missed me? Her smile widened, and seconds later she held a handful of gauzy fluff. It wasn't easy making a decision in such a rush, she murmured before holding it up in front of her. She bit her lower lip before sliding him a coy glance. Come on, Brian, say something. Do you like it? He frowned again. Trisha, I meant what I said about keeping relationships professional in this office. Trisha's otherwise pretty features pinched into a series of lines and grooves. That wasn't just for Janice's benefit. No. You left me high and dry while you shopped, and you didn't return when you were supposed to, knowing Janice wasn't here to pitch in and cover for you. His full-time RN had become a grandmother as of 2 o'clock that morning. A preacher's wife, Janice had been married nearly as long as he'd been alive, but she was feisty and fun, and he didn't have to worry about her coming on to him or flashing him her lingerie. Janice's timing sucked, though, because she'd requested 2 full weeks of vacation to help her daughter get back on her feet after giving birth. Vacation that had begun this morning. I'm sorry about today, Brian. Really? She wet her lips. Forgive me? Firming his hold on Trisha's elbow, he grabbed her belongings from atop the mess and headed for the door. Trisha, I appreciate the effort, but I don't think you're quite right for the job as my office manager. Oh, but I'll call Sierra and let her know I won't be needing your services any longer, but thank you for your time and work this week. She placed a hand on his chest and dug in her heels, stopping their progress. But Brian, I can make you feel so much better about your breakup with Holly. She was attractive, no doubt about it, but he wasn't interested. Because he needed help with filing? Brian bit back the curses on the tip of his tongue and escorted her the last two steps. For the record, there was no breakup. Holly and I never dated exclusively. He shoved the items he held at Trisha before opening the door and gently but firmly pressing a hand between her shoulder blades to urge her outside. Trisha blinked as if she'd only just realized her surroundings. On her face, disappointment warred with fury, and her pink-coated lips peeled back in a grimace. You mean that's it? Afraid so. Take care of yourself and be careful driving home. Her mouth dropped open, and her chest rose and lowered rapidly in agitation. You're firing me and turning me down? He couldn't quite believe it himself. Brian eyed the negligee in her hand, but not a single flicker of desire stirred within him. Don't take it personally. Trisha stood for a moment, huffing and puffing and visibly shocked that he'd said no to her considerable charms. Her mouth snapped closed, opened again, and then she released an outraged shriek that rivaled any child who didn't want a needle before she stalked off toward her car. Brian watched her go. How had life come down to scenes such as these? He shook his head and was about to return to his computer when he noticed his neighbor standing on her porch not 15 feet away. She snickered behind the hand covering her mouth. That was the problem with his practice. Located between two occupied homes, his patients didn't have any privacy. And neither did he. Glad I could add a little amusement to your day, Ellen. Trisha left the lot, tires squealing, and the act incited another round of laughter from the Taylorsville social worker, this one louder than the first, since she no longer made an effort to disguise her amusement. Tears trickled from Ellen's eyes, and she nearly dropped the box she held clutched to her front in her bid to wipe them away. Reluctant, Brian jogged down the wheelchair ramp and over to her porch to take it from her. Where to? There. She waved a hand to where her car was parked, trunk open. Oh my. Brian, I needed that so badly. With a smile on her face and eyes sparking, Ellen looked to be around his age of 32, rather than the 6 or 8 years his senior he knew her to be. Bad day? She waved a hand in front of her, as if she wanted to shoo away the question. Nothing that time and patience won't solve, she murmured mysteriously. But right now, I've got some errands to run before heading over to the toy drive and barbecue at the police station. You'll be there, won't you? Her tone suggested he'd better put in an appearance. I've got a ton of work to do, but maybe I'll drop by later. Her brows rose in surprise. You're working on a Friday night? Again. What happened to Crystal? Or Lisa? Or, her tone lowered a notch, Holly? You know Holly and I never dated exclusively, he repeated for what had to be the 1,000th time. He promised himself there and then that he'd be more discreet in his hookups. So she was another one hoping to change your wayward ways. Brian lowered the box into the trunk. All I can say is that you women have a vengeful streak. Looked to me like she was more than willing to comfort you this weekend, she murmured, gesturing to where Trisha's car had been parked. He glanced at the blackened tire marks left behind. My office is a disaster, and all Holly's sister will send me from the temp agency are marriage-minded women too afraid to break a nail unless there's a chance it might involve rough sex. Ellen chuckled at his complaint, her expression telling him she didn't sympathize much. I take it you haven't had any luck coming up with a fundraiser then? He closed the trunk with a scowl. When have I had time? Besides, people will gladly donate toys and food, but when it comes to cold hard cash, they still look at me like the new guy just waiting to take their money and run. It's been 3 years and I'm still the outsider. I'm beginning to think the clinic will never happen. Ellen clucked her tongue, the sound motherly. Think positive, you'll come up with something. And I'll give some thought to your office manager dilemma. In the meantime, go lock up and come to the station for dinner. The work will still be there tomorrow. That's the problem. He glared at his office door and wondered how he'd be prepared for Monday morning the way things were now. If anything, Tricia had made more of a mess. No, Ellen corrected. The problem is you picked the wrong women, something you've done as long as I've known you. If you want to change the way people see you, then you need to figure out why you're keeping yourself from finding happiness. They won't donate because they think I'm not happy? He tilted his head in pretended interest. Ellen, that's far-fetched even for you. Fine, make fun, but the next time you find yourself in the mood, pick a woman, not a girl who makes your blood heat just thinking about her. Makes my blood heat. What have you been reading? The woman gave him a good-natured swat. You're not listening to a word I say, are you? Be that way, but if you ask me, you've brought this on yourself. Brian held up his hands in surrender, walking backward until he felt the asphalt end and the grass begin. 3 steps more and he grabbed the door of his practice. I didn't ask. Besides, he added with a teasing grin, if you'd agree to date a younger man, I wouldn't have a problem. He yanked open the door, but didn't make it far. Ellen's laughter stopped him again, and even though he told himself to keep going, his body refused to obey his brain. What? He demanded darkly. Ellen shook her head at him, a patiently tolerant expression on her face. Brian, oh, I feel for you. The moment you decide you've found the perfect woman, she's going to treat you exactly the way you've treated all those women whose hearts you've broken. You wait and see. Melissa York drove around the back of the house she shared with her father and parked, her thoughts a chaotic mess filled with snatches of conversation, listing all the reasons she wouldn't be hired by the companies supposedly looking for employees. Groaning, she opened the car door, and the August heat practically melted her in the 5 seconds it took to grab the bag of groceries from the back seat and hurry inside. After her checkup with her oncologist in Baxter, she'd spent the day making cold calls to the few businesses at which she hadn't already left her resume, then driven back to Taylorsville to do the same. Now she kicked off her heels, inordinately glad to be home. Heaven knows she wasn't in the mood to cook, but since she was now well enough to help out, she figured healthy meals and a clean house would go a long way to repay her dad for the way he'd cared for her during the worst moments of her life. Organic chicken awaited in the fridge. Maybe a salad. Lots of veggies, anyway. Cancer supposedly hated vegetables, but loved her. She wrinkled her nose, relishing the memory of good old-fashioned high-fat junk food, and set the bag of fruit and vegetables on the counter before reaching into the refrigerator for the chicken she'd left marinating overnight. In her haste, she managed to drop the hard plastic container on her unprotected toes. Ow! Oh shoot! She hopped on one foot and held the other with her hand, rubbing hard and squeezing. Frustrated tears blurred her vision. Nothing had gone right today. Grabbing hold of the countertop for balance, she wriggled her brightly painted toes and glared at the Rubbermaid container on the floor. At least the lid had stayed on. She picked it up and slammed the large rectangle on the counter. Must have been some day, a voice murmured from behind her. Anything you need to tell me? She started at the sound of her father's voice. So much for having dinner ready on time. She noticed her dad's hair was messed up. Why are you home so early? Are you sick? Ruddy color filled his face. Hello to you too. No, I'm fine. I decided to come and get some paperwork done before a meeting. Oh. Well. Remembering what he'd asked, she shook her head. You know I would have called you if anything showed up. I'm fine. Doesn't look like it. Bad day? He asked, holding out his hand to keep the door between the living room and kitchen from swinging back and forth the way it normally did. She nodded and washed her hands in the sink before moving back to take off the container lid. "You could say that." Heavily calloused hands settled on her shoulders and turned her to face him. "It can't be all that bad." "No." She reached up and smoothed his mussed hair, noting his cheeks got a little red again. "I think I'm wearing a big scarlet C on my forehead. I put applications in all over Taylorsville and Baxter, but suddenly the job market has disappeared." She shook her head in annoyance. "All they see is a walking cancer ad." He pulled her hand away and held it, kissing her knuckles. "You'll find something, give it time." "But why are you fixing dinner? Did you forget about the barbecue?" "The barbecue?" She had forgotten, but only because she hadn't been asked to get involved. "Yeah, I guess I did. What was I supposed to bring?" Her dad chuckled. "Just yourself. Everything's done. Came together smooth as silk. Ellen, remember me introducing you a while back at the station? She's done a great job. She's, in the living room now. We were going over some last-minute details when you got home. For an event that would take place someplace else?" Melissa eyed her father again. Was that lipstick on his mouth? He let go of her hand and rubbed the spot, making it redder. "Just an itch." She shook her head at her imaginings, no doubt the aftereffects of paranoia brought on by being stared at like a leper during her job hunt. If she didn't find a job soon, she'd climb the walls. A house could only be so clean. "Hal," Ellen called from the other room. "I think I'll head over to the station now." Melissa wondered why the woman didn't come into the kitchen to say her goodbyes. The brief meeting a few months back had left her with the impression of a well-put-together woman with a warm smile, but little else. "I won't be long. Tell Nathan to get the grill fired up before the mayor gets there and complains about the smoke." "You need to go," she murmured. "I'm sorry for interrupting your meeting." Her dad lifted his hand and smoothed it gently over her too short hair. Barely an inch and a half long because it was taking forever to grow, she'd recently had the fuzzy ends trimmed, and the overall style looked very Peter Pan-ish. Not exactly a style most women would pick, but better than no hair at all. "You vent anytime. Better out than in, you know that. Besides, taking your frustration out on a plastic container is a lot better than taking it out on a person, like some people do." Smiling at the truth of his statement, Melissa wrapped her arms around him and gave him a big hug. "I know," she said, resting her head against his chest with a sigh. The steady beat of his heart soothed her frazzled nerves, the scent of him calmed. Her dad was the one person who'd never let her down. "You sure you're okay?" She nodded again. "Yeah. But thanks for listening. I don't know what I'd do without you." He squeezed her tight. "You do fine, Mel. You do just fine. I have an idea." Brian held the phone to his ear and leaned his head back against the desk chair. "Hey, Ellen. Shouldn't you be at the barbecue, setting things up?" "I'm on my way now," she informed him, "but I had to talk to you. There's no time to waste." "Sounds urgent. What's up?" "I know the perfect woman to be your office manager." "Who?" Brian sat forward, Ellen's excitement rubbing off on him. As a caseworker for the county, Ellen knew a lot of people wanting to better themselves, find work. Had she thought of one of them? "Well, you know the, police chief?" Brian stilled, his racing thoughts skidding to a stop. "Hal York has a job," he murmured, deliberately misinterpreting and not commenting on the fact that he knew Hal York, mainly because the man parked his police cruiser behind his practice and Ellen's home about every night. "I meant his daughter. Do you know Melissa?" Brian pinched the bridge of his nose. "Yeah, I know her," he murmured, his mind locking on an image of Melissa York, her bald, turban-wrapped head bent, her shoulders shaking while she sobbed after learning the truth of her infant daughter's death. He stood and paced around his desk. No way could he hire Melissa. Does this mean you're ready to fess up and admit you and Chief York are an item? Will it help? Hal loves me, but his daughter comes first. At least until she can focus on something else and stand on her own two feet. Unease tightened his stomach. Ellen. You need help, she said, her voice taking on a pleading quality. I can't hire Melissa York. She hadn't talked to him after that day at her house. A glance here and there when they happened to meet up in town, a shaky smile before she quickly averted her eyes. He thought he'd done a good thing by telling her the baby she'd buried not long after birth hadn't been shaken to death, but instead his research into the incident had left Melissa blaming herself. Why not? She's perfect. Pulled from his thoughts, Brian asked the obvious question. Have you discussed this with her? Brian, she needs a job to get back on her feet, and it's always best to hire someone hungry for work. They make better employees, something you could use right now. I take it that means no. Ellen paused long enough for a healthy dose of guilt to settle in. He'd caused Melissa pain, however unintentionally, and she obviously felt awkward around him now. Way different than when they were little kids, spending their summers playing together on the street corner downtown, while her dad and his grandfather worked. But that was a long time ago, and Melissa wouldn't want to work for him any more than he wanted her to. Brian, please? Will you give her a chance? For me? He hedged, trying desperately to think of a way out. What does she know about running an office? I know she's a smart, capable young woman who used to work as a teacher's aide while taking night classes at college. Hal said she loved her job, loved being busy. An office would be a breeze for her. And Brian, her voice lowered, Hal also told me that she used to handle the fundraisers for the station. I feel badly when I think of that. I wouldn't have taken over the Christmas toy drive if I'd known. Especially since. Since what? A weary sigh came over the line. Well, Hal's asked to marry me. Congratulations. But I don't want our marriage to begin with tension between us. Which means we can't get married until Melissa is able to support herself again. She's put in applications all around, but she's had trouble getting hired because of, well, I think too many people know her medical history. Yet something else for him to consider. Brian fought his frustration. He hated being put on the spot like this. You mean her cancer? Brian, please. Put yourself in her shoes. She's ready and able to work, and no one will let her try. You'd be helping all of us, most especially yourself, because you'd have someone who actually wants to work, instead of spending her days flirting with you. He eyed the mess on the desk, then thought about the reception area, her words pulling at his conscience. It's not a good idea. Why not? How many credible applicants have responded to your ad? You know very well there would be more, but a lot of husbands don't want their wives working with you because of your reputation. Janice is an exception, and if her husband didn't have the utmost faith in her and their marriage, she wouldn't be there even at her age. And do you really want to deal with Sierra's temps week after week? Brian, you need help, and Melissa is a viable solution. True or not, he wasn't about to be sucked in by Ellen's argument. Think of it this way. You're not going to find the right woman when you're so busy shaking the wrong ones out of your bed and working overtime. Hire Melissa, she ordered. Do something good for her and for yourself. And you. Silence met his words. He paced the room, swearing beneath his breath, but knowing Ellen had him. If nothing else, he owed Melissa for the hurt he'd caused her, and for the time they'd spent playing together as kids. He also owed Ellen for all the meals she'd provided as a neighbor. Fine. I'll do it. A squeal erupted over the line, and Brian held the receiver away from his head, a rueful grin tugging at his lips. When the squealing stopped, he hesitantly brought the phone back to his ear. "I'll give her an interview. We'll see how things go from there. She won't want to work for me, and when this doesn't work out, you're back to square one and I'm off the hook. Got it? Oh, Brian. You're the best. No wonder you've won so many of the awards in the Tribune." He winced at the reminder. "Ellen, a piece of advice, don't ever bring up the newspaper's moronic contest." Happy laughter came over the line. "You make it sound like being a small-town hunk isn't all it's cracked up to be. Ellen." She laughed again. "I'll see you at the barbecue. Melissa will be there, and you can talk to her then. Tonight? But. Bye." Brian rubbed his eye with the flat of his palm and replaced the receiver onto the base with a mutter. Women. What had he gotten himself into now?